This recording, Germany 12, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here is a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling. Comma, comma, which Sarah thought was an old choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bath the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I am 66 years old, and if you reverse these two numbers, it doesn't get any better. It's still 66. And I am from Germany, northern Germany, Hamburg, close to the North Sea. In Germany, like at that time, everything was a little simpler. I mean, technology was not that advanced. They didn't really have computers, and that was something that just started to progress slowly. And so we did a lot of bicycle riding and went on foot many times, and we did not really drive a car until 20 years later, and that was almost when I left Germany and came to America. But we all went in Germany, let's say, to school, and then we had to go and learn something. Everybody had an apprenticeship, like I had to become a toolmaker, and then I went to engineering school, and after that I came to America. I went there, and the day later I started to work right away in this company, and this guy did packaging machines. He actually packed up cookies and little cookies and ice cream in between, and then they went into a freezer on a truck, and he shipped them to the food stores. And there I worked for this company a couple of months, and then this guy wanted, actually he paid us a pretty low salary, and the friend of mine, he said, you know, we should ask for a little raise here, because this guy is taking advantage of us. So we asked for a raise, and our boss said, that's no problem, I pay you $150 more a month, $800 instead of $650. So we got but then he said, well, but for this you have also to work on Saturdays. My friend again says, well, that's not really a race, you know. And so he said, but we like to work on Saturdays, but now we need $1,000 for this additional work. And the other guy said, no, I can't do that. And then my friend says, well, then we have to quit. And then I didn't quite understand what quit meant. And I said, I kid too. I meant quit. And then we both were out in the street and had no job, but we already had another job prepared in case we wouldn't get a raise. So the next 2 days later, we worked at the other place where we had asked for a job. Yeah, but this is now almost an embarrassing story. But when I started to work as a mold maker, I mean, I was a good tool maker, and I really made a good work, did good work. But as a mold maker, there are certain tricks which only people understand if they did make molds in the past. And some of these things, there's a little tricks. I mean, you have to give it a little vent release when they inject the plastic, that the air can go out of a little release. I didn't know those tricks, so I did it just like the print showed. And then one thing was, it says 750,000 of an inch, the dimension, and I made it exactly 750,000. And the boss comes in on, actually, I started on Monday. The boss comes in on Wednesday morning and measures my work there, my material, and he said, wow, 750,000, no grinding stock. I was supposed to make this a little larger, like 754,000, leave a little grinding stock because they need to harden this material first, this metal, and then it warps a little, and then they grind it, and then it's back to the original good dimension. He says, no grinding stock, I have to order new material, I have to write a check. He disappeared, and 5 minutes later he comes back out of the office, here is your paycheck, goodbye, and I was out of the job again.